This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
You guys ready to get in the Word? God, we just love you and praise you today, and I thank you today that we are going to be the people, God, that you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you know, do you realize that they're not just negative or soury people? Do you realize that there's genuine people out there? I mean, people that are genuinely appreciative and thankful. And then I start wondering what it takes for me to be thankful and what I'm thankful for. You know, what I'm appreciative for. And you know what hit me about this, and I know it's the season we're coming into that we've got a week and a half before Thanksgiving, but you know, appreciation and thankfulness are strong. It's an attribute of strong faith. Thankfulness is an attribute of strong faith, just being appreciative. And do you need to trigger appreciation, or is it already there? Are you just genuinely appreciative, or do you have to find it, import it, you know, find the trigger? Because I think it's important for us to have it set in our heart. And I look at this that the way Paul put it in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. Therefore, from now on, you know, when that's in the Word, look, from now on, like what's happened up to now is immaterial. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Okay? We regard no one according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Man, old things have passed away. Just think about that. Skychuk, think about your life that everything up to this point is water under the bridge. It's passed away. And all things have become new. And look at verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Look, he's given us a mission. He's given us a job. He's given us a function. He's given us a purpose. See, one of the main reasons that we started doing the internship. Number one is that Brother Hagin came up to me, and he's the one who started Rhema. He went to be with the Lord a few years ago, but I was at a function with him, and he began to minister to me and talk to me, and it was just a few years ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago. But he said, hey, do you send your people to Rhema to be trained? And I said, well, yeah, well, sure we do. He said, man, stop doing it. I said, okay. He said, look, send your own lead. He said, train your own leaders. He said, what we don't want to do is we don't want, man, the vision at Rhema to conflict with the vision at Guts Church. He said, because I love the vision there. And so thinking about this, what's happened now in 10 or 12 years of the internship is that now purpose is a big deal for me. You know, you walking in and fulfilling the purpose that God has in your life. That's why we have the internship. Yeah, it's gonna stretch you. Yeah, it's gonna strain you. Yeah, it's gonna you're gonna have to check your heart every single day. That's one of the biggest things about being on staff at a church. That's one of the biggest things about being in training in a church. That's one of the biggest things about being a leader in the church, is that you gotta check your attitude every day. You know, I don't know that it's so much family or money or I believe it's the commitment to keep your heart right. You know that I'm around a group of people that don't give me the leeway to have a sour attitude or a crummy heart. They don't give me that. Man, I've got to have my heart right with God every single day. And there's people that are in my life, they're in the core of my life, that are within arm's reach of my life, that put a demand on me to just have my heart right every single day, no matter what. And I, see, I think that's where the rub is. A lot of people that have no idea. If you're here and you don't know what God's purpose is in your life, man, there may very well be a church in you. Man, but behind you, there may be waves of people. Man, people groups that'll come to the kingdom. Do you understand, man, that this is, we have to have an eternal mindset. We have to have a view of eternity in our heart. That it's not just me making it through the month, you know, maybe getting that next promotion. You understand that's poverty? Hand to mouth is poverty. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And poverty is an aspect of the curse. And see, so now we have to look at our lives and understand that, man, we're new creations and there's a purpose in our lives now. Man, God's called me and he's given me the ministry of reconciliation. 3 John 1:2, which is kind of the core text for the message today, is, beloved, I pray and I believe in God that you prosper and are in health as your soul prospers. Man, that's my prayer for you this morning, that you prosper and are in health as your soul prospers. Man, that you prosper, that you're in control of your life, that debt doesn't have a stranglehold on you. Man, that you're not living beyond your needs, your means, trying to keep up with some kind of ideology or some kind of expectation, and that you're in health, but it's as your soul prospers. You know, I can't get away from Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 in Romans 12, Paul says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Man, that you prove it, but you have to have a prosperous soul. You have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You have to have a ready word attached to your heart, attached to the next situation or circumstance that's gonna jump you. I got it. One thing we've got to understand is there's something around the next bend. Something we're not anticipating, something that we don't see, something that we have to trust God. And are we able? See, we're able if the word's hidden in our heart. Otherwise, let me tell you, there's a fence right around the next corner. There's some kind of fear that's right around the next corner that's going to try to debilitate you. See, and what we've got to do is we've got to realize, wait a second, my soul is prosperous. Why? Because I've hidden God's word in my soul. Man, I've made sure of that. Just as your soul prospers is important. Three aspects of a prosperous soul. Number one is a new mindset. Man, you have to take on a new mindset. You know, the Bible talks about, let's refer to it in a few minutes, but it talks about new wine and old wineskins, new garments that are sewn into old fabric. Man, that garment begins to stretch. That garment says, man, you know what? It's going to tear apart. But see, we have to understand that we have to have a new mindset. Man, symptoms don't dictate to us that the door's open for sickness now. You know, all a symptom is just a dashboard light in your life that flickers and said, look, check your engine. Okay, what do I have to do? I've got to pound it with God's word. Man, I've got to make sure. You have to have a new mindset. Number two, you have to have a hunger to spend time with God in his word and in prayer. And I'm telling you, this is imperative. It's gonna keep that mindset fresh, but as you're spending time in God's word, as you're spending time in prayer, what you have to understand is, what does that do? That means you're not belaboring the issues that are trying to pull you down. Has there ever been a time where you've been at church and you've heard God's word, where you've been reading your Bible, you've been in prayer, that you've wasted that time? Has there ever been a time like that? Well, that's what we have to understand. Man, so you know what? No training time, no time in God's word is ever wasted time. Yet, how much time have you wasted watching television or a ball game? How much time have you wasted where you know what it does? Just opens up your life for disappointment. It opens up your life to things that, you know what, that nobody ought to look at. But you know what? Now it's just conventional television now. Man, it's primetime television, things that no one should look at. Yet, you know what? It's just commonplace for us now. Man, the language, what's happening? We wonder what's happening in the world when, you know what? We have to take on a whole new mindset. And you know what? We've got to be willing to dedicate and commit our lives to spending time in God's word and in prayer. And it's pivotal. Number three is you got to find your people. And you know, that's the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. I'm talking about like a prosperous soul. I'm not just talking about you making $1 million or $10 million or $100 million. Man, I've known some of the richest people in America. And you know what? Their marriages fail. And things go haywire. You know why? It's hard to have that much money and not trust in riches. And the Bible warns us about that. See, so we have to understand and look at our lives now that I live for a God now. Listen, I live in a God now who's more than enough. My God is able to exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think according to the power that has to work in you. There has to be, number one, a new mindset. Number two, spend time in God's word and in prayer. And number three is you just have to find your people. You got to seek them out. Man, you can't, I'm just telling you, it's like for me, it's better to have no friends than the wrong friends. It's better to have no husband than the wrong husband. It's better, see, but we've got to find the right people. And you're not going to find the right people, man, without the order of this list. Man, you've got to be able to trust God. You got to be able to be in a place where it's like, wait a second, I've got a thankful, man, God, I'm so appreciative that you've set my feet upon a rock and I can launch my life through this. But see, what I have to have is I have to have a new mindset. I'm not the victim anymore. Man, how many of you guys have scars and wounds and hurts that you think about almost daily? Well, you know what? I'm just telling you. I'll just be frank. Maybe not gentle enough for you, but this is one of those times. I'll tell you, what most of pastors, the expectation of church, I got a little gas bubble here I got to take care of. The most of the of conventional church today is pampering people. It's babying people. You know, we're desiring the sincere milk of the word. I love that. Man, the babes in Christ come in here. Let me tell you what church is about. Church is about helping people get out of the wreckage of their lives. And you know what? Getting on a fresh path. You know what? And you know what that fresh path is? To help other people get out of the wreckage of their lives. Not to keep putting the additives in your gas tank to keep your engine running better. No, that's not the responsibility. The responsibility of this church is to get people with the attitude of understanding. You know, most church people have no idea where the highways and hedges are. Yet that's where Jesus calls us to go, to compel them in that his house may be full. But see, you know what we've got to do? We've got to pamper people. We've got to baby people. Why? That's the expectation today. Man, you got to understand, listen, we are an army at war. So you know what you have to do? We've got to be great. You got to come in here. You come in here today, and your expectation is this is training to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. Man, you want true encouragement in your life? Man, you know what you've got to be able to do? You've got to be able to take on a new mindset. The mind of Christ has to be something that you can access at a moment's notice, where you know it's God or you know it's not God. Man, no matter what the news is, whatever hits your life. You know why? Because most people, let me just tell you, people that require, after years and years of sitting in church, that still require pampering are just living in an old wineskin. And you know what God wants to do all the time? God wants to do something new in you today. Man, I look at so many people week in and week out, and what God wants to do is something new and something fresh. And we all want something new and something fresh, but we don't want to change. And you know what we have to have? We have to have change. There has to be a change button in our lives that we are punching all the time. Man, we're changing our old attitudes, our old mindsets, our the old way we think, our old expectations. Oh my gosh, maybe it's not her, maybe it's me. Maybe it's not them, maybe it's me. See, where we take responsibility for our lives, where we choose that we're gonna run our lives to win, as one who wins, that you get out in front in your life and not running, not blaming somebody else, not trying to make explanations or excuses for why it can't happen. I'm just telling you right now, it's time for us to be the soldiers that God's called us to be. Golly, I tell you, I'm preaching to me as much to anybody. Man, I'll tell you, you know why? You know what good soldiering is? Day in and day out. Man, a consistency in your life that you're just here, you're ready, you're on the ready to receive whatever orders come down from the top. And that's what this is about. This isn't about me with my life and what I can get. And see, what I have to understand about my life is that once I gave Jesus the lordship of my life and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, think about this. I personally made Jesus the Lord of my life in 1979. Soon after that, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I owned a Bible. It was leather bound. I owned a Bible. I went to Bible school for 2 years and just sat under the Word. You know what? The first year ended. I didn't want to go back to the second year. Man, I'd made the Western U.S. rugby team. I was trying out for the U.S. rugby team every year. I didn't want to go back to Bible school. Look, I got it. But you know what? And the guys who talked me into to sticking it out and going back that second year, which wasn't required. Man, those guys, you know what? By November of the second year, all those guys had quit, and I was left alone. And I'm thinking, God, what is this? And you know what? It wasn't nearly as fresh as the first year I went. But that second year was so imperative. You know what happened in that second year? Man, I started dating Sandy. You know what happened in that second year? Man, it wasn't all about me anymore. It was about me being steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Where I'd realized that maybe just praying with people and winning them to the Lord wasn't some thing that I could do. No, it's who I was. Man, I made up my mind that year that I was a soul winner. I made up my mind that year that there wasn't a person that could cross my face that I couldn't bring to the saving knowledge of Jesus. See, I made up my mind. I took on a mindset that there wasn't anybody that I couldn't win to the Lord. Man, so now we're this Guts Church, and what we do, we're able to reach people. Very few people or nobody else can. And you know what? Man, I don't think that should be an anomaly. I don't think that should be something that's outside the ordinary. I think that should simply be church. Man, we're reaching all kinds. We're reaching people groups. We're reaching waves of people. See, but what's in your heart? What's holding you back? What God wants you to have is a prosperous soul. Man, you know what? Man, we've all had disappointments in our life. And you know what? All those disappointments, there's people attached to them. And you know what we've got to do? We've got to get over it. I do. I've got to get over the disappointments of my life and be able to encourage myself in the Lord daily. You know why? There's hurting and there's messed up people. There's times where I need encouragement. There's times where you need encouragement. But understand this. Man, people in our populace, people within the sound of our voice, people watching on the internet right now. You know, there's people watching on the internet right now. I got a report last week. There's a man who religiously watches every Sunday from Baghdad. See, we've got to understand this. We've got to look at it. There's people that are desperate for encouragement. They just don't need a little bit of encouragement. They don't need a pat on the back. Man, we've got to realize that we have an open heaven above our lives. That's why the Word says that greater is He who's in us than He who's in the world. We have access to all the power that God has ever had is at our disposal. Is we can access it by the name of Jesus. No one puts new wine in old wineskins. In Luke, the 5th chapter, in the 36th verse, then Jesus spoke to them a parable, and He said, no one puts a piece of new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new one makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new doesn't match the old. Verse 37, and is that how you feel like when you gave your life to the Lord? I didn't match the old garment that I was. And it didn't work for me anymore. Verse 37, and no one puts new wine in old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put in new wineskins. And both are preserved, and no one having, this is key, listen to verse 39. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. You know why? The new is different. It is not familiar. It's not natural. Man, that new wine, it's because the old wine requires no change. It doesn't require any development. Man, people aren't going to just come in and say, man, I just need more of God. Okay, here's how you have it, okay? Man, more of God is you got to be here every time the doors open. Man, you got to come 15 minutes early and stay 15 minutes late. And you know what? Man, there's people that feels like such a tremendous sacrifice. The biggest commitment that I believe Christians in America are ever going to make is they're going to commit to coming to church once a week. It's going to be such a big commitment. You know why? Ball games and work and family and the lake and all kinds of other things get in the way Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And listen, I'm not trying to beat anybody down. I'm just telling you that, man, I want your soul to be prosperous. And I know the formula. I know the recipe. Man, you can't just put whatever you want to in this recipe. God has developed it. You have to have a new mindset. You have to have new reactions, a new way to deal with your emotions. You have to have a new way to make decisions. Man, your reactions have to change. Man, the last thing you want to do is scream an obscenity and say, man, dear God, I don't know where that came from. Man, I know where it came from. It was in my heart. That's the only thing that I'm going to be able to speak is what's in my heart. You know, today, I'm telling you, this is just my heart. Man, what I want to do is just open up my chest and, man, let you see what my heart beats for. And when we think about 2015, we think about the initiatives that God has for us, the launches of life that God has for us. But you know what? What the natural is going to want to cause us to pull back a little bit on the reins and tap the brakes as much as we can and make sure all our ducks are in a row, and when all we have to be is thankful and appreciative. Trust God. Man, he's able, he's willing, and I'm receptive. And that's how the formula works. That's what the true recipe of the living God is. Number one, you have to have a new mindset. Man, my soul's prosperous. Man, the way I think is prosperous. I can hold my head up high. You know why? I'm a child of the King now. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to this world. I'm no longer a slave to other people's expectations of me in my life. I'm a child of God now. I am who God says that I am. Man, and then you know what? We have to take time. Man, we have to build time in our lives. As often as we eat, we just have to get in God's word just a little bit. Man, just a little bit. Nobody is going to quiz you. Man, nobody's going to. We're not giving you memory verses. Man, this isn't vacation Bible school. No, you know what this is? This is life. And I feel like I'm doing you a disservice when all we do is pamper you week in and week out. Yeah, you guys in here that are brand new in the Lord, that don't know much. Yeah, sometimes we gotta help you, take you by the hand and, man, lead you to, listen, green pastures and fresh water and shelter. Man, so many people that are sheep without a shepherd. Man, we need a shepherd. Why? Because we're sheep. We'll say, well, but wait a second, that doesn't inflate me very much. I know. See, all of this is just getting you to remember Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you live your life as a living sacrifice. You give your bodies, you give yourselves as a living sacrifice, that you're sacrificing your life. You know, really honestly, in the last month or so, that's when I inquire of the Lord, and he'll just inquire back and say, what are you sacrificing, really? You know, and then there's so much, and then we think about a sacrifice being something we've lost. When God looked at a sacrifice that he made, and what he did is, man, he gained his family. Man, you try to cling to your life, you lose it. You have to have a new mindset. Man, you sow your life, you give your life, you gain your life. That's how you keep your life, is that you give it. You have to take time every single day, multiple times a day. You have to be in God's word and be in prayer. And then, you know what? You've got to get with the right people. You've got to take the initiative and ask people to breakfast and lunch and coffee. Man, you've got to be here as often as you can to just build the relationships. You know what? You need people, but also people need you. Does that make sense? See, and then the next thing you know, man, life will be so fulfilling. Because it's how we give. We don't give and tithe to an institution or an organization or a denomination. No, there's one thing. It's changed lives. It's simple. It's changed lives. There is a recipe for success and fulfillment in God's word that is simple. Simple enough for the smallest child to understand. But you know what? Man, what we've got to do is we've got to live that recipe, a new mindset. Spend time in God's word and prayer. And you know what? Be with the right people. It's pretty simple.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.